171.775 is amended to read 171.775. In addition to such penalties as otherwise may be prescribed by law, a person is subject to such sanctions as either House or Legislative Assembly may prescribe, but such sanctions shall be uniformly applicable to all persons subject to ORS 171.755 to 171.775, if he, sub 1, violates any provision of Section 6 of this 1973 Act.
You better check that section again, make sure that's the right section.
2, fails to file any report, registration, or statement, or to furnish any information required by ORS 171.755 to 171.775. Or 3, furnishes any false report, registration, statement, or information required by ORS 171.755, 171.775. Wouldn't a person be a lobbyist? In addition to such penalties as otherwise provided by law, a lobbyist is subject to such sanctions as...
Talk about a person who is subject to
Section 10, Dave?
Yes, I am. Oh, no, I'm really talking about Section 9, because Section 10 only makes one small thing.
I gotcha.
And that's the only sanction in the Act, mm-hmm. other than a provision, Section 9, which says the legislature in its wisdom can provide uniform sanctions for other things. It seems to me that the time to prescribe the sanctions is now.
What does Section 9 do?
In addition to the penalty.
Section 9 and the amendment?
Yes, I'm looking at the Gaffney Supplement. All I was saying is it seems to me that there are practices which Section 6 of the Capital Club Bill sees as practices which ought to be prescribed, and it seems to me that those ought to be subject to Section 10, in addition to being things which are subject to additional penalties by the legislature.
Well, what sections would you recommend be put in there? Section 6 be put into Section 10 along?
Yes, at least Section 6.
6 and 7?
I'd put them all in. I'd say anything that's 1, 2, or 3, as it appears in Section 9, ought to be.
Why not any violation of this Act is a misdemeanor? Take out everything.
Well, it's hard to know then what you have violated sometimes. I think that it's better to put the prescription by section number. I think those are better. Better to register a report.
Read them to me. What sections do you want in there? 6, 7, 9?
I would say any provision in Section 6.
6, 7, and 9. What was 8?
Well, 9.
9, sub 1, and sub 2.
6 and 7. So that you require to report, you report to require to be accurate. And the specific practices which are outlined in Section 6, that is subdivision 125, should also be subject to that. I wouldn't change Section 9, by the way.
Yeah,
it seems to me that that's always useful to preserve the legislature's rulemaking power, but that ought to be something to do.
Section 10, then you want to read violations of Section 6 and 7 of this Act are misdemeanors.
Yes.
I have problems, as I do with all these things, in making everything a crime. I'd much rather impose civil penalties. Make a crime.
What do you recommend or suggest?
Well, one provision of HB 2530 had a forfeiture of some stated amount to pre-time compensation, whatever.
$250 as an individual and $1,000 if it's someone other individual, something like that.
A civil penalty is probably preferable. I agree with that.
I agree, too.
Criminalizing things isn't appropriate if you can have a civil penalty that has teeth.
The subject of a fine of up to $250?
I believe.
For an individual?
You have to be exact in civil penalty, am I correct? You can't have there's no sentencing discretion in civil penalty.
You understand somebody that has the authority to set it by a ruler.
Yeah.
Are those penalties satisfactory? $250 for an individual, $1,000 for an organization, group, or whatever, corporation?
And then we should allow some mitigation.
The end of the bill as you people wrote it?
That's it.
You didn't put anything in that's in section 9 or any of the rest of the section?
I think section 9 in the original bill is rather important.
Henry, what objections do you have to section 9?
9
of the original bill.
9 of the original. Well, the Secretary of State prescribes things?
Yeah. The forms. And prepares and publishes a manual for.
Sets and file information.
Do you want the bill in 3 weeks or not?
Well,
I don't think there's much expense to that.
Seems like you might be able to just deliver the person on a deed of custody form, just to say he was just directed somewhere in the bill, his registration so forth, be on form furnished by or prepared and promulgated by that particular person might be enough. This provides a long, extended program of manuals and all kinds of stuff that looks quite costly and may not be accessible.
does have one very important provision, which is investigatory power, one of the many.
You mean section 10 of this?
Yes.
Well, wait a minute. Subsection 10.
Oh. Subsection 9.
Make investigations with respect to state
investigatory
report.
Centralized, in other words.
Well, I kind of think section 7 is important, too.
7 could be put right into the report they already put out,
yes.
Isn't it? Disclosure booklet they put out.
One, I think we have to have. Which guys, it should be furnished for them, shouldn't it?
Yes.
It says and provide such forms for person to
prescribe forms for statement and report to require to be filed and provide such forms to person. Okay.
Prepare and publish a manual that follows uniform methods of accounting.
Well, that's where we get involved with ways and means, I think.
Yeah.
It seems to
me
the manual
is
essential if that would...
If the reporting form
stands... Yeah, they can look... Accept and file any information voluntarily supplied, but that's no problem. Develop a filing, coding, and cross-indexing system consonant with the purpose of this act. I don't know what that means. Either.
Well...
Matter of fact, the lobbyists are not kept under a filing, coding, and cross-indexing system. They're filed.
Yeah. But you people put that out yourself, didn't you? Funny too, huh? Frankly, that's the guy who asked for it. I thought you guys were going to do it. Okay. Do we need 4?
I don't know why.
Well, you need it more in a larger state than this, frankly. And so he can always do it if he has
the resources. We can add it the next biennium with, along with the pamphlet if we want it.
Okay, we struck the manual.
A lot of these things are things that he has.
Yeah.
I agree with
you. Make statements and reports filed available for public inspection and copying. I think that's all right, isn't it?
In fact, it's public. You just make it a public fact. You already called out of the second file. Except for making copies.
Boy, when you put regular office hours in there for the Secretary of State, you better get there before 12 o'clock and before 5:01. I think we can leave 5 in the way it is, can't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Preserve such statements for not less than 5 years. Do you have any objections to them hoarding them for 5 years? If you want to?
I'm going to keep all that, man.
The only problem there is we're going to get a capital enlargement bill out of the Secretary of State.
And thereafter is 192. What does that mean? You're going to put them in the archive?
No.
And thereafter, as
what's 192 say?
Provisions of Chapter 192.
That simply would keep them from.
Let's see.
It simply makes them subject to the archivist provisions or whatever the archivist construction provisions.
We cover that in this amendment anyway, don't we? All information submitted to the blank blank in any report registration statement required by ORS such and such as a public record pursuant to ORS 192.
Mm-hmm. The same thing.
So if we're going to use this, we've got to take it out of one of the places.
I think you don't need it here if you have it.
Take it out.
I just wonder if we want it. Strike six.
Strike six. Pursuant.
No, you strike the entire section. If you already made a public record, then...
That's right. You're automatically...
I don't know, Chuck, on Chapter 192 on public records, does that give you the copying, you know, does it allow you to make statements and reports... File available for public inspection and copying during regular hours. That's normal with a public record. Is that right?
That's not. The provision of providing copies at cost is not in 192. And in other states, it's been seriously abused where an agency charges $1 a page or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And deprives you from seeing a public record in effect by the cost. So.
But if we do put it under 192, well, we leave that in. But under 192, would you have to keep it for years and years and years? If you use the 192 on the other
well,
side.
Well, it's probably under 192 anyway because that provision is
completely.
Why do we want to
the archivist is now under the Secretary of State's office anyway.
Keep it beyond 5 years.
I can't imagine.
Well, I don't know what the... ordinarily, you'd have to keep it for infinity, according to the... or eternity, at least, as long as the bill now...
I think we all agree. Why don't we just say preserve such statements and reports for 5 years? Would that do it? From date of receipt.
By saying there, after pursuant to provision 192, that is stated, that you keep it forever.
Yeah.
Well, let's take that off.
Which I can't imagine why you want
that. But I don't want him to keep them after 5 years. I think it's silly to burden the...
Well, that's what I'm saying. You put 192 in there,
on line 14, you strike, and thereafter pursuant to the provisions of already...
Yeah, okay, just strike that then and keep the other part of it.
And you want to take section 8 out of the fair amendment.
All information submitted to legislative administrator in any report, registration statement required by us is a public record. Yeah, I think we ought to take that out.
Then you don't have public access to them. I think that's
all right.
No, you could just take out that pursuant to ORS
192
again. You want to leave section 8 there.
You added some language in there.
Well, we had pursuant to ORS 192 in it when we went through it before, but I see. I'll just strike that part then.
You say he is a public record, sure.
Yeah, okay. Just the way it's
that takes care of it, doesn't it, Dave? If we take pursuant to ORS 192 off of section 8 and put a period after receipt here. And
I guess so.
And you just say it's public record.
Are we going to require them to publish an annual summary?
No.
So it'd be like a digest.
Next thing we know, there'll be a book out every year.
Forget it.
Hey, prepare and publish such other reports as he may deem appropriate.
The word other,
then. Well, you might get a guy in there at Secretary of State that just go nuts publishing these things that we've told him he doesn't have to publish.
Well, no, my suggestion is to permitting the publish reports, but not require it. One problem is, of course, collating all this information. That's the only way in which it is useful.
Well, since we aren't funding the thing, we can't require him to do any more than the bare minimum. Let's put that in 2 years from now if we think it's a good idea, huh?
If it keeps
it out of waiting meetings, like, whose job could it be to do all this? The person who's interested in looking it up or somebody else?
Clay Myers talked to Jack Thompson.
Well, I'm asking the question is, the policy matter, if the state is requiring public information be available to the public, should it be the state's responsibility and expense to put it all together and for the convenience of the public?
I think it's a question of convenience rather than policy. These things, for many people, aren't things that they can easily come up to Salem and inspect and leaf through, and therefore sending for the Secretary of State's annual compilation might be the only way they'd ever see the information.
We have to conclude from what the erroneous question was that the campaign expenditure report that they had so many
I certainly objected to the report on my campaign.
Yes.
I don't think we should require that this session anyway.
$500
should be out too, because that's up to the press. If they become newsworthy or somebody wants it, well, it's available to them.
10. Make investigations with respect to statements and reports filed under the provisions of this Act, and with respect to any alleged failure to file a statement of reports required in the provisions of this Act, and upon complaint by any individual with respect to apparent violation of any part of this Act. In making any such investigation, the Secretary of State shall have the power to take and hear evidence of Mr. Oath and compel by subpoena the attendance of witnesses and the production of books, papers, and documents. This is the one that had the highest price tag on the 25-29. The bulk of his $93,000 a year figure was for his auditors and others and investigators.
Well, if he's going to impose fines, he's got to pay for doing it.
But there's no necessity that no one knows the volume of this. I don't know how that could reasonably be costed down at $93,000.
Yeah. Well, no, that's how much he would to have under 25-29 when we went to him and talked to him earlier, talked to legislative fiscal about what would it cost to have someone available in addition to what he's got now to take on 25-29 and 25-30. And he said it cost him an auditor and an attorney and an investigator. Mm-hmm. And the price was, and then clerks and et cetera, and it came out to $93,000 per year.
See, I'm surprised that Jack Thompson allegedly, I don't know if this is growth here today, I'm sorry, but my understanding would be, told Clay Myers that it would be about about $7,100 or something like that at most for HB 2530. And that included the first version, which had all these requirements of reports in it, so I can't concede them.
Well, the report that he gave back to Legislative Central came back with a $93,186 per biennium, or would you lump the both of them together?
That's right.
Ways and Means probably whittle that down to about
$7,100. So if you leave 10 in, you're going to, I don't know which is, whether Jack Thompson can do it for $7,100 or not, but he said that in that very same language in 25, 29.
Are all the
same,
right? Even
It doesn't also define that this individual who does make the complaint has to also identify himself. I don't like anonymous complaints.
Absolutely. And isn't that in here?
Terrible.
It was originally or someplace.
Well, it's not in this. It says a complaint by any individual, and it does not state whether it can be an anonymous complaint or otherwise.
You want to use your earlier amendment,
you
which
bet.
Was upon signed complaint.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I don't like people go around and complaining. Not letting them know who it is.
That's the way most district attorneys end up beginning investigations of cases and end up in prosecution.
How about if we go through the rest of it and put that one last?
Well, let's forget about the
rather than
thing.
Shall.
Where?
Well, see, these are all shall. The Secretary of State shall do all these things.
Yeah.
We make investigations, and we go through the rest of them and make that one a may.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That way he'll do it if he's got the money, and he won't do it if he doesn't.
Shall we make this a signed complaint?
Sound all right, Mr. Chair?
I've already got it written.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be all right for this session, but I sure wouldn't. I would try to get it funded next session.
It would have.
Pardon?
No, we were talking about May and shall.
Two things at one time.
Yeah.
Right.
May, so yeah.
Okay. Report any apparent violation of this act with appropriate law enforcement agencies. We don't need that anymore, do we? Issue upon request and publish advisory opinions on requirements of this act based on real or hypothetical set of circumstances.
I don't know the reason for that either.
I don't know why.
Well,
it has
I
to be in there.
I can answer that. At least, not just from the Willie Headed Academician, but from a lot of the federal agencies are increasingly going to the question and answer method of giving out guidelines in advance so that people have a better idea of what the subjects of the law are. And this was done, for example, by the Cost of Living Council during the first wage price freeze. Very useful.
I think the idea is fine, but here again, if he's going to have somebody in his office to do all this, and I'm trying to say that if we...
it's discretionary, but it seems to me that it would be useful to have that. Again, there might be...
put under May.
The way this is going to work is that he's going to maybe set this up and do as best he can and come back the next session.
He's going to come to the emergency board is what he's going to do, and I suspect that it would be wise not to require too much. The emergency board's going to turn him down.
Well, my view is that it's a very useful technique and would be as useful as people.
I think it's good. I do too.
You're making a May.
Well, we'd change it to May, didn't we?
Could
no,
put
we
it under.
You know, okay.
Put it under the May with
okay,
10.
Okay, let's put it under the May with 10.
Same with 13?
Yeah. Section 10, the Secretary of State shall cause each statement filed in this act to be inspected within 10 days after the date is found. He shall notify a person required to file a statement under this act immediately if it appears that the person failed to file a statement as required by law, or that a statement filed by the person does not conform to the law, or written complaints filed with the Secretary of State by any legislative or executive official, or any signed complaint.
Right.
I hate to jump on the bandwagon you were just on, but I think I ought to. inspection mandatory 10-day period inspection requirement by the Secretary of State undoubtedly would necessitate the hiring of additional personnel. Because you're really giving him a very short time period within which he's got to make all these findings. So I suggest that that be deleted.
The whole thing.
This session, yeah.
Make it 60 days.
Or 60 days.
Make it longer, then he can do it.
Put the real burden of verification in a short time frame. And if these are public, maybe we can count on them with press.
Okay, now this burden would fall on the Secretary of State probably 30 days after the legislative session is over, wouldn't it?
Well, this section here would say as soon as you file something, that's got to be...
Well, I'm trying to think of when these poor devils have to file.
Every month.
Okay, I think that should eventually be in the law. Deleted.
11
is deleted. We've got it taken care of, haven't we?
Yeah,
now, Steve, what do you think of Section 12?
Well, that's a limited civil penalty provision for certain kinds of violations.
Doesn't it also
refers back to Section 3.
I see.
Of this act.
Section 3 is the same now.
Well,
that's the employer section right there.
I mean, that's what.
This is what I was trying to get to before.
Yes, this is an employer section, but since employers aren't covered under the rewritten bill, it has no irrelevance.
Where do we suck it in?
Well, any person who pays compensation to a lobbyist reimburses a lobbyist for all or part of his expenses or makes an expenditure to solicit others to lobby.
And who fails to file a registration form or report payment? Well, the problem is he isn't required under this rewritten bill to report or register.
Well, we could go back and pick up.
But if you just change the and who to must, or must file.
But you're not covering his salary, per se. He doesn't have to say what his salary is.
I don't think we can put it in this bill and make it go out.
I don't think it has any... regrettably, again, I think if the bill is drafted the way it has been drafted, it doesn't fit.
I should
hear.
Something you might want to pick up next time around. I suspect that it's desirable.
I don't
think
the next provision now...
Triple penalty on the lobbyist. Any person who receives any compensation reimbursement for activity of a lobbyist and who fails to file a registration form as required by the bank shall, in addition to any other penalty provided by law, pay to the general fund account equal to 3 times compensation or reimbursement.
Now, this is just another way of doing the civil penalty thing, the $250, $1,000 civil penalty version. And if the committee already made a policy decision on that, it seems to me this again is unnecessary.
Certain courts of the state shall have original jurisdiction to enforce the provisions of this act by injunction or writ of mandamus.
No.
But 15.
You're going to use the appellate court for
Well, but suppose
appeals?
The Secretary of State is delinquent in duty or someone is violating the act in some way, that the writ of mandamus would permit the Secretary of State to be directed to enforce the act as appropriate.
I still think.
Wouldn't he otherwise? Wouldn't you have that relief if you didn't
mind?
I'd rather make that the appellate court under any circumstance than the district court.
Well, this is a citizen standing provision. This would give a citizen the right to come in and enforce all the provisions of the act, and that would mean a private citizen himself would feel that a person should have filed.
Well, that's one reason I object to it, frankly. What's wrong with the appellate court?
That's in Marion County.
Yeah, but it isn't a district court.
Well, but
they're
not a court of original jurisdiction.
They would
have
the
power to find facts or investigate or...
Okay.
That would be the circuit court of Marion County?
Yes.
Yeah. 15's all right, isn't it?
15 is a severability clause that gets struck out of everything every time it comes
into. As I understand, the law is not necessary because that's already in the rule of interpretation anyway.
It's already got it all.
Take it out then?
Yes.
15?
Yes. Section 16. Any person who is a lobbyist on the effective date of this act shall be considered to have become a lobbyist for the purpose of section of this act on that date. Wait, rewrite that to say,
what's got the effective date
down? We've gone on 2535 by saying on or before January 1.
We
had a file.
Do we have a date when you have to file?
This act takes effect January 1st, 1974.
Prior to deemed to be embarked upon them, well, we've got to give them some time to get it filed. The original bill said 3 days. And not later than 3 working days after the beginning of such activity.
Well, that would mean if the session started on the 8th, they had to file by the 11th.
Well, not unless they began lobbying. If they didn't engage in any direct communication, they wouldn't have to do it until the time they did.
Well, yeah.
The bill, as you now passed it out, actually is more stringent than House Bill 2530 in the original draft, because your requirement of a statement would be, this is looking at Section 4 of the Capital Fund version, is before engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with, I guess,
the
House Bill 2530 would have that registration within 3 working days after it.
Like your weekend lobby before you.
Let me suggest you one reason why that might be a useful thing to do, and that is that sometimes, quite inadvertently, you might find yourself lobbying. And say, one gentleman here would be asked by a legislator, what do you think of this? And he'd say, and you really hadn't counted on coming around to do that. It seems to me that you want to give him a chance not to be convicted because of a chance encounter.
What about a guy who retired from lobbying?
He's still guilty.
We could amend Section 4 there.
Said within 3 working days after beginning any lobbying, he probably should register.
After engaging in lobbying.
That would be an improvement.
That would be it. Within 3 working days after engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with in that new section.
That's working days for the lobbyist and working days for the
claimant. Let's make that change in 4. I think it's reasonable. Can't start a sentence with a number. Within. Within 3 days after engaging in lobbying, each lobbyist shall register with the legislative administrator. Go on. You're going to have to watch that all the way through, Granton.
Mm-hmm. Section 17. Nothing in this act affects the authority of
the No, we took out 16.
16 out?
We took 16 out.
Okay.
17 goes with 9, doesn't it?
17 is really the same as 9. Chairman, it seems to me that the legislature has inherent power to prescribe
rules. Yeah, we do.
The effective date is January 1, 1974. Section 19.
Yeah. Now wait a minute. The section 18 says already appealed. Now we don't mean that, do we?
No, we've got those.
That's out
we've
now.
Because we amended all
those. Yeah. Is that any problem with the date?
When do you retire?
74. Whatever the date is on there.
You want to retire
earlier
or later?
Is that all?
Well,
that
you can make a 75
You can't make a 75.
We made a 74.
I think this date's all right. I think it has to be this day. Doing a special session in January 74. I've been led to believe there will be. We'll have it typed up, and as soon as we get it and copies thereof, we will try to have a meeting while the House is in session.
Does he agree with
you? Which would be just about any time from now on. Grant, do you have any idea how long it will take to get this?
Sure, I'll start working in the morning.
In the morning? I keep forgetting what the Common Cause news release is. When have we worked beyond, what does that thing say? That said that we weren't working very hard.
I know, we said you worked hard.